Hey, welcome everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio diction. I'm your host, Brent Kuhlman, together with my co-hosts, Adam Olean and Clint Poppy. I serve Trinity Lutheran Church just north of Murdoch, Nebraska. And Poppy and Moline, they serve Good Shepherd here in Lincoln. Great to be with you guys. How you doing?
Very, very well.
I'm doing very well.
Good. I'm glad.
Very well.
I'm
feeling great.
Well, you know.
Feeling great. No symptoms whatsoever.
Here we go again. Don't get me started. Now, all right, folks. Table talk. We just sit around and we chew the fat on various theological topics, and we've been, you know, we started out this program when we first started, you know, talking about Apostles' Creed, and we've been going through that, and we got to the end of the second article, you know, Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead, and we've segued the last day into Antichrist and Antichrists, and we've been discussing, and I want to pick this up some more, about how the papacy fulfills the 2 Thessalonians 2 passage being the Antichrist. And I was talking about the Lord's Supper. And again, just for the sake of those of you, if you're listening for the first time, Martin Luther, in his last will and testament, his theological last will and testament, the small called all articles, he says that the Roman Mass is the abomination of desolation. Why? Because it denies the gospel. And I was talking about that last time. Adam, so Roman Catholicism teaches what officially about the Mass? What's going on?
Well, they're... I don't know the right terminology. They're re-sacrificing Christ, or they're presenting the sacrifice of Christ.
Well, they would vehemently say we're not re-sacrificing.
Right. But when they have
true.
The Lord's Supper, Christ's sacrifice is there.
There you
and
go.
They're giving it to God.
Representation is the big word.
Presenting. There mm-hmm. we go.
Yep. And what's being represented? It's Good Friday.
Yes.
That's why, seriously, folks, if you do a Google image search of the sacrifice of the Mass, you will find the priest offering up the body of Christ, and you'll see God the Father at the top of the image, and you'll see Jesus hanging on the cross. I'm not talking about a crucifix on the altar, but you'll see Jesus hanging on the cross in the image. Do this, okay? So Good Friday is being represented before our very eyes. What else is going on?
Why is
the priest in the image search elevating the body of Christ to God the Father?
In some sense, too, it's a worship of the presence of God there in that that bread as well. And so he's offering it up to Christ. They're bowing before it. They're giving it to God. All these things are sort of taking place. And it is a giving of forgiveness of sins then to God, or that's not the right way to say it. Giving to God the sacrifice on behalf of someone's sins as well.
Yeah, see, you're exactly right.
I'm trying to say it the right way to make sure it comes across clearly, and I'm doing terribly. Can you tell?
That's all right. And that, well,
we have mercy.
The terminology is, see, if Roman Catholics know their stuff, they won't just say, I'm going to Mass today. They'll say, I'm going to offer the sacrifice of the Mass today. And that's the official teaching.
Yeah.
So the sacrifice is this, is we are offering the body and blood of Christ to God the Father, for what reason? To eat it and drink it? Oh, yeah, we'll eat it and drink it, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is to offer to God the Father to do something, namely to atone. Atone for what?
My most recent sins.
And not just mine, but the sins of the dead.
If I have any left over, or if Jesus has any love left over, if the church has any love left over, then that'll spill out into all my family and friends.
There's endowments for this, too, then, where for hundreds of years people have had masses said in their name to offer this sacrifice to God for their sins so that they can get out of purgatory maybe eventually.
Correct. So, I mean, and that's where this language of the living and the dead comes in.
Yes.
And again, if you do the Google image search of the sacrifice of the Mass, you will find the images of the people in purgatory. And so if you're picking up what I'm throwing down here, you will begin to understand why this is the abomination of desolation, because it is not the gospel at all. The Lord's Supper does not atone for any sin. I'm going to repeat that. The Lord's Supper does not atone for sin. And see, this is what they teach, though, you see. It's but now
to see that, you have to look at who's doing the action, right? Gospel is always God doing the work for us and giving it to us and providing it for us. In the sacrifice of the Mass, even the language we've talked about, we're going to offer Mass. Who's doing the verbs? It's us or the priest or someone here on earth doing it for God or before God. And there's the issue. That turns it into law instead of gospel, action instead of gift. And there's how we can kind of determine that for ourselves.
Right.
Luther has a beautiful way of talking about this, Pastor, and it's in several different places. But he talks about salvation accomplished and salvation delivered.
Right.
And when we get those two mixed up, we get into all kinds of trouble.
He does this many times. One is his 1528 Great Confession on the Lord's Supper. And he does it when he writes against Karlstadt as well.
And it is a wonderful distinction. And most Christians would agree on how salvation was accomplished. And yet, how that salvation is delivered to us is where Satan works very, very hard to get people mixed up. You know, you were talking about offering up the sacrifice and the atonement in this, the teaching of the atonement of sins in the sacrifice of the Mass. May I play the devil's advocate for just a moment? What if I came back to you and said the Roman Catholics in this theology of the Mass are simply following Psalm 116? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Pretty familiar words, mm-hmm. because that's part of the liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
So is this offering up the sacrifice of the Mass what Psalm 116 is talking about, Pastor?
Nope.
Help our hearers understand that.
Psalm 116 is talking about how God has rescued you from death. From death. And so how do I repay the Lord for all of his benefits, including saving me from death? I'm going to drink all the more. This is why this particular part of the psalm came into the communion liturgy over the last 50 years. It is to emphasize the fact, how do I repay the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I will be given all the more by him in the Lord's Supper. So in other words, I will take the cup of salvation, means I'm going to drink it, and I'm going to believe what he says about it. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. As a result of that, then I offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Lutherans don't shy away from talking about sacrifice, but we keep the distinction proper biblically. And this is my point. This is why the Roman Mass is such an abomination, because, I'm going to repeat this, the Lord's Supper does not atone for sin. Good Friday does that. Only the Good Friday death of Jesus Christ atones for sin. So what's the Lord's Supper give? It gives you the benefits of the atonement that happened on Good Friday. And see, this is the distinction Luther makes that you quoted earlier, the achievement and then the bestowal. Or as I like to say, the winning, the accomplishing, and then the giving of what he won and achieved on the cross. Forgiveness achieved on the cross, atonement achieved on the cross, and the benefits of that atonement are given in the Lord's Supper. That's why you have to pay attention to the words of Christ. So I'm going to play devil's advocate to my Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. Does Jesus say in Matthew 26 and the parallel accounts and Paul's account in 1 Corinthians, does Jesus say to take the bread, which is now his body, and offer it to God the Father to atone for the sins of the living and the dead? The answer clearly is no. He simply says to eat it and to drink it and believe my promise that it's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Doesn't mean that the forgiveness is now being achieved and won here in the supper, but it is now being given to you based upon my Good Friday death on the cross. This is the distinction, and this is the one of the central divides between Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism. And this is why Rome cannot give this up. They simply will not, and they cannot, because this is part of what it means to be in the realm and the domain of Antichrist. And being in that domain means that you are going to deny what? the central teaching of the Scriptures, that sinners are justified before God by faith alone, by grace alone, by Christ alone. And they've turned the Lord's Supper into something that atones for sin. And that completely contradicts all of that. And I hope that's helpful.
Well, I think it's very helpful. And when the Roman Catholic Church speaks of the Mass, what you just described, Pastor, that is what the Roman Catholic Church believes, teaches, and confesses.
Right.
This is not a crazy Lutheran fabrication. This is right out of the Roman Catholic Catechism. It's available online. You can check that out. We're trying to explain it as clearly as possible so that people can evaluate for themselves based on God's clear words. And it was last program, Pastor, when I playing devil's advocate again, because that's apparently my spiritual gift. But there are several places.
He's beginning to take on the form of a serpent.
Yes.
Now we're in a Harry Potter movie. Yeah.
There are several places in the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord.
Right.
There are several places in the Book of Concord that talk about Lutherans celebrating the Mass, Lutherans not abolishing the Mass, Lutherans using the Mass, the correct term there, with more celebrating the Mass, mm-hmm. with more vigor than our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. And I know we're dangerously short on time in this segment, but in most Lutheran churches, to even utter the word Mass now brings up a very, very strong anti-Roman Catholic.
Because of what we've just talked about.
Okay, and so that is an appropriate response.
Yes.
And so when the Lutheran confessions use that term Mass, or when a young Fort Wayne graduate,
or even St. Louis,
comes out, yeah.
Or St. Catharines.
Yeah, 80-20 Fort Wayne, but still, the terminology that people have grown accustomed to because they're studying their Lutheran confessions is the Mass,
right?
Properly understood.
So Mass can be understood in a broad way and in a very narrow way, and it's used in both ways in the Lutheran confessions. In the broad way, Mass means the divine service. In the narrow sense, it's the sacrifice of the Mass, in particular what we've just talked about. So when the confessions talk about we keep the Mass more reverently or more diligently than our opponents, they mean the divine service that has now been reformed according to the Word of God, in particular the Gospel. That when you come to church, Jesus is among us as one who serves us with his Word and sacrament to give us the forgiveness of sins. Okay? That's the distinction here.
And in the narrow sense, it's referring to
the sacrifice of the Mass.
The sacrifice of the Mass,
which is
the Roman Catholic teaching.
Yeah. And so, now, I know we're going to hear the music. So I offer a word of caution to young seminarians who come out and are first-year pastors. Don't use that terminology. Don't use it. The high pastoral care would say, just refrain from that language. Even though confessions use it, refrain, because people will not understand what you're talking about.
Takes years of teaching.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a minute.